Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Valley Bible, how we doing? You guys feeling good? All right. Let's do this. We got some church today. I hope you guys are ready. Welcome to our affiliates and everybody at home on the internet. It is so awesome that we can't contain the goodness in this building that we got to blow it up. We got to go elsewhere. Isn't that good? I'm gonna ask. This is just my own personal thing. How many of you guys watch online? Anybody out there watch online? So a lot of you guys do. Okay. All right. Because it's a good thing. We live in a both and kind of world. And when you're sick I get it. You wanna. Watch online, but don't let that be your only thing, right? Because we need each other, amen? All right, poke your neighbor in the ribs. Say, I need ya. All right, you really did that. That's good. So, next Saturday, you have a chance to get the coolest red Swagalicious shirt you've ever seen. It's right here. All right? And this is like an extra large, man. This doesn't fit me. Did my boy from first service come again? Where's he at? I was giving him a bad time. Okay, so I know you already got one, but somebody like extra large, man, like somebody that represents. Hey, man, you're just too easy, man. You're making a softball throw right there. Hey, by the way, the contract was whoever I throw that to and catches it got to be here Sunday with donuts, or Saturday with donuts, okay? Saturday with donuts. Chocolate donuts. All right, that'll work. I like it. Okay, good. Good. We're going to do communion later, so if you don't have your elements, we can get those to you at the end. You don't have to get up right now and get them. We will serve, but we're going to end with communion. And we're going to end as we survey the cross of Christ. I'm so thankful for the blood of Christ. And so we're going to talk about that. But right now, we're going to pick up from where we left off last time. And last time we were in Ephesians chapter 3. We did a couple verses. I'm going to read them all again so we can get a little background. I'm going to give a little background information, and then we're going to go on. God's got something for you guys. Are you ready? I hope you're ready. I like to say it's not an accident that you're here, but I'm going to go beyond that, and I'm going to say it is God's will that some of you guys are here, that you need to hear this message. God has called you here today, and you thought you just got up and thought, well, I'm going to go bless church with my presence. You are here because God brought you here. All right? So get ready. If you have your Bibles, your device, whatever you read the Word of God on, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 14. If you guys were at Man Cave yesterday, who was at Man Cave yesterday? Gentlemen, man of God, where you at? It was amazing, right? I'm not really spiritual, so I got to tell you, my favorite thing was the breakfast burritos. Okay, I got to say. You guys ever been to Chipotle and you got the big old, you know, you're like, man, I don't know if I could eat it, but I'm up for a challenge. You kind of do this, right? I'm getting this thing. They were bigger than Chipotle yesterday. They were amazing, all right? We got some amazing ones out in the courtyard. So if you get baptized, get a burrito, baptism, and be blessed. Okay, the trifold, the trifecta be. Bless, burrito, baptism, so you can do that today. But Man Cave was awesome yesterday. Gentlemen, oh, man, I love being in the place where there's guys that love Jesus. And I'm telling you, Valley Bible, you guys do it the best, man. You do. Come on. Ladies, let's give our gentlemen a hand for being there, for making it happen. All right, you got your Bibles now. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded, say rooted and grounded. It's important. It's important. We're going to talk about that. Being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Say all the saints. I'm not talking about old statues of people that have gone before us and done great things. I'm talking about the saints of God in the house here today. Yeah. We need each other, and we're going to talk about that. Get ready, get ready. I'm telling you, you may be sitting next to a total stranger, but you need each other, and you are better because of each other. Get ready, get ready. We're not even done reading scripture yet. We already had church twice. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God has something for us today, church. Don't leave here without grabbing it, okay? If you take notes, man, get this. If you don't, get your phone out. No one's going to think you're texting. Take some notes, okay? We're going to go through a bunch of scriptures. We're going to make this stuff happen. Little background, Paul is in prison. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he is encouraging them. He's saying, be filled. Make sure your inner man is filled. And last time when we talked about that, we called the message the main thing, or the long version, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. This time, we're doing the second part of that because it's the same passage in Ephesians. It's Paul's prayer to the church of Ephesus. And we're calling this main thing part two, a.k.a. fill her up. Okay, so it's main thing, fill her up. First one was main things, keep the main thing, but that got too long. So I didn't want to say this. Write this down at the top of your notes. The main thing is keep the main thing, sub chapter title, fill her up. Okay, so we don't want to do that. So we just call it main thing. All right, I'm talking too fast, huh? I get it. I have to get you guys out of here by 3, right? So I have to talk fast to get everything in. All right. Paul is in prison, and he is telling the church in Ephesus, be filled up. Okay, this is my prayer for you as I'm in jail. I want you guys to be filled up. If I was in jail or I'm in a bad situation, my first prayer is not for somebody else. My first prayer is, dear Lord God, get me out of here, right? I mean, I'm just being real. I mean, I love you, but you'll be maybe my second prayer or third prayer. My first one is, God, get me out now. Paul is saying, here's my prayer, that you guys don't worry about me and that your inner man grows, your inner man be strengthened. Man. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm glad we have people to look up to in the faith, right? I mean, I look up to Pastor Ron and Pastor Hector and these guys that are doing it day in and day out. And thank the Lord. And some of you guys, man, you're doing it. And keep doing it and do it more so that we can continue to look up to you, all right? So then maybe when we get to that place, when we're in a crisis, we can pray for other people and not just our own preservation. We're going to look at verse 17, and we're going to call this established. Verse 17, Paul says this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Paul uses two metaphors here, and I was taught in English class never to mix your metaphors, but Paul mixes his metaphors here, and he does a good job at it. And he talks about being rooted, which is like a tree and its roots going out into the ground and staying solid and staying in the foundation. And he also speaks of being grounded, which I think talks about being like a building being grounded in the ground. And so I want to show you this first picture, and it's a picture of a tree. And we always think of the tree on top, and that's all we see, but we've always been taught in school, right, that there's as much underneath the ground as there is above the ground, and that's what a tree looks like if we were to look at it. And so that makes sense, right? Because trees are out there, they withstand the wind, and people cry, you know, I mean, they're strong. I'm going to show you a picture of another tree in a little bit, but this is how we are to be deep in the faith, and we're to be grounded. In fact, it reminds me of Psalms 1. I love Psalm 1. I memorized it when I was in 9th grade, I remember. And sometimes when I'm in that twilight space between waking and sleeping, you know, right before you doze off, I don't know why, it just gives me comfort. And I'm just like, Psalm 1. And I just let it roll. Psalm 1 says this, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and all they do they prosper. Isn't that good? That's the picture that Paul is saying. I want you to be solid in your faith. I want your inner man to grow so that you are rooted and grounded. If we look at this verse again, verse 18, it talks about a couple other things. So I want to break that down, and there's 3 parts to this. Verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. So first of all, let's look at the first part here, that you may be able to comprehend. Able here is a Greek word, exousio, and that actually means power. It means strength and power. Last time we talked about the word that means power. It was dunamis, okay, a dynamite. Paul uses that later on in this passage, but right here he's using a different word that means not so much like explosive power and strength, but more like just like strong, being strong. So Paul says, I want you to be strong and that you will be able to comprehend the word of God. So if we have that strength and that power, which is what God wants us to have, our lives will change. Luke 24:49 says this, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what?
Power
from on heaven. Power. We need this power. If you are living your life without the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, stop it. Do not go another day. Let us pray with you. Maybe today, maybe you pray a prayer right now. Do not attempt to live a Christian life as a wimp. Live it in the power of God. God has power in abundance. God has power more than you want or need, even before you ask it. And we have an obligation as Christians to walk in that power. If we are powerless, our life is anemic. If we are not passionate and filled up and our inner man is not strong and strengthened, we are not doing what God wants us to do. It's kind of like going out to battle without wearing your armor, okay? You wouldn't want to do that. Think of the Middle Ages, and you know, they had their armor and their chainmail and their shield. And picture, you know, you guys going, it's all right, man. I'm tough. I can do this, man. I got it. And you kind of walk out, and you get your arm cut off, and your head rolls down the hill. Okay, done. Sorry. Should have put a disclaimer on there. Gory things to come. That's as bad as it gets. If that's as bad as it gets, we're all good, okay? We need to make sure that we are girded up, that we have the power of God. If we don't, it's going to be a little harder, okay? We need to have the power to comprehend. Comprehend here is a word, catalabano, and it means to take or receive. Like when I threw you the shirt, right? You took it, right? I just gave it to you. You go, I got a shirt, score. Man, he likes me. God likes me. I prayed for that shirt, all right? You got a shirt. You receive it. It's different than taking possession of it. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But Paul says, I want you to have the strength, all right? I want you to have the strength and the power to be strong, to be able to receive the word of God. And he says, once you do that, I want you to receive it with all of the strength and unity of each other. But before I talk about unity with each other, I got to tell you, please, please, please know that we are not to live the Christian life solo. We need each other. It's great. We need to spend time in the Word every day. We need to get up in the morning or at night or whenever you do it, man, you need to open the Bible. You need to read. You need to meditate. You need to say, God, I need you. I love you, Lord. Here's my prayer list. Bless my kids. Bless my family. Help me to be successful. We need to do all those things, but we also need each other. And there's no excuse. There's nothing different than being in community with other believers, okay? We need each other. And let me just break this down a little bit more for you. Paul says, with the saints, okay? It's not talking about all the saints of old and it's a spiritual image that they're up in heaven watching us. He said, with the saints of God here and now, we need each other. And what I think Paul is trying to get across here is that we don't only need each other, but we have an ability to understand the word of God. That strength that we just talked about, the receiving and the strength, that comes out even more when we have the strength of each other, when we're with each other. So for instance, I'm going to read a scripture. I'm going to toss it around and say, what do you think about that? And we're like, yeah, this is what it means to me. And I was looking up a Greek word and here's what it is. And then you'll say, yeah, this is what I think. And next thing you know, four or five of us are way better than one of us individually. You see what I'm saying? And that's the way that God wants the word of God to be. Like just right now, it's a little different, right? We got a personal devotional time. We got this time. We got a corporate time. It's one guy just like kind of, you know, doing this. But then you guys at the lunchrooms later on this week, okay, on campus or in your cars, you're driving with your family, whatever. Maybe you need to pull out a passage of scripture and go, what does this mean to you? How does it mean? Because the word of God is living and active, right? And it always accomplishes what it needs to accomplish. And you may think, oh man, I don't want my kids to think I'm just throwing out a bunch of, you know, thousands of year old words from a thousands of year old book. And hey man, you don't have to make excuses for the word of God. It's the word of God. All right. It's living and active. It either is or it isn't, but you know what? It is. So it is. So get on it, man. Start living it with each other. All right, let me show you another picture here. It's an illustration of a redwood tree. You guys know the California redwood trees, right? Who's been up and seen the redwood forest? It's amazing. All right. A lot of you guys have. These trees grow up to 300 feet tall, right? Here's what I want you to notice is the root system on these trees, you would think 300 feet tall, maybe 300 feet down on the ground. They don't grow like that. Roots from a giant redwood tree only grow 5 to 6 feet in the ground, but they grow up to 100 feet out. And not only that, have you guys ever noticed redwood trees grow side by side? They grow real close to each other. You know why? It's because the roots, get this, this will preach. The roots intertwine with each other, and as they grow out and they find the other trees and they intertwine, and sometimes they even fuse together so that those roots become both of the tree's roots at the same time. Bam, that's pretty good. So check this out. Here's another picture, and that shows you just comparatively. Here's an apple tree, 10-story building, giant sequoia, right? It is 300 feet tall. It's taller than taller than the Statue of Liberty, all right? That's pretty tall. And so you think about this, and then I have one more picture here. It shows a tree that has actually fallen down in the root system. Isn't that awesome? That guy, and that tree is so big, that guy is 10 feet tall. He's a giant. He's really not. You're like, man, why's that guy always lying to me? That's not lying. I'm teasing, okay? It's a different thing. He's probably a normal guy. So anyways, I want to show you how, like, huge these things are. And can you imagine? 5 to 6 feet is just not that much ground for these roots to go in. But because they go out, here's the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, I need you. Some of you guys are so encouraging. Every time I see you, you're high-fiving, and I'm not saying that I need more encouragement. I do, but I'm not saying that. I did. But what I'm saying, sometimes stuff just comes out. But what I'm saying is we need each other. I need you guys to grow in the faith, because when you grow in your faith, guess what? It spurs me on, and I have to preach better, and I have to serve better, and I have to serve more, and I have to love my wife better, and I have to love my kids better. When you guys get better, I get better. When I get better, you get better. When we get better, we all get better. You guys are awesome. So now I'm going to read the verse again, and then I want to talk about the height, the length, the breadth, and the depth of the love of Christ. Verse 18, you may be able to comprehend, okay, receive with all the strength, with all the saints, that's all of us, what the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ is. It reaches every corner of our experience. It's complete, it's eternal, and it's all-encompassing. Some people think that the formula that Paul has here, wide, long, deep, and high, talks about measurements of Solomon's temple. You know, like, this is the length of it, this is the breadth, okay, maybe. Some people say it represents the four corners of a cross, right? So you got the height, the depth, and the width, and the breadth. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not. A person that I look to and respect a lot, Timothy Keller, says this is Paul praying for the Ephesian church, and he is showing us a little insight into his personal devotional life. Whatever it is, however you want to look at it, let's explore this together. So it's wide. It's wide enough to reach the whole world and beyond. Paul references this earlier in the chapter, in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 and 20 in those verses, covering the width of our own experience and reaching out to the whole world. Paul could have been thinking that the width of the gospel, the width of the love of Christ, the width of God's plan encompasses everyone. It encompasses every socioeconomic class, every color, every gender, every ethnicity, every choice, everyone. It's as wide as it needs to be because nobody is left out. Paul was probably saying what John said in Revelation 5:11. Then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne of the living beings and the elders. There's so many people in heaven, and no one was left out. You are not beyond the scope of God's coverage. The gospel is wide enough to grab no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter how bad it was, no matter how good it was. The gospel is wide enough to take everybody in, and nobody is left out. If we really believe that the gospel leaves no one out, you know what? That could put an end to prejudice. That could put an end to racism, if we really believe that, because no one is beyond the grasp of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Paul could have been talking about all of God's kids, where no one is beyond redemption, and everyone is kindled by his blood. When we talk about the length, it is long enough to reach from eternity to eternity. That's a long ways. It's from eternity to eternity. Paul could have been thinking about how we can't get rid of Christ. We can't get away from his love. We can't go too far away because he is always there. Hebrews 13:5, which is a rendition of Deuteronomy 31, says, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. You can't outrun God. There may be somebody here today that is saying, all right, God, You know, I've heard a lot of people say, I'm supposed to have a relationship with you. I've heard people say that I can never, you know, get away from your love. Whatever, I'm running. I'm here today, but I'm running. And I want to tell you what, sir. Stop running. Take off your shoes. Your day is over. Let God catch you, because when he catches you, all he's going to do is turn you around, look you in the face, and love you, love you, love you. He's going to grab you, hold you in his arms. We don't need to run. Ma'am, if that's you, stop running. I'm telling you, take your shoes off. God's going to give you something different. God's going to give you something new. If you're here today and that's you, man, I need you to run one last time and run down front, because we're going to pray for you, and today will be a life change for you. Psalm 139, 7 through 10 says this: I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride with wings of the morning, if I dwell on the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. The sheep cannot outrun the shepherd. God will catch you. God will find you. God will embrace you, and God will change your life. What about the depth of the love of Christ? It is deep enough to rescue people from sin and degradation, even from the very grip of Satan himself. Paul references earlier in the chapters, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, reaching the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. Paul could have been thinking about how Christ descended into hell itself to grab us, the depth of which Christ descended. Philippians 2:5 says this: you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You cannot get away from the depth of the love of God, because he descended down into the inner parts of the earth to reach those people that had never heard the gospel, to reach those people that had fallen. And he said, you get my grace now. You died in the past. Everybody else from going forward will know my son, but I'm giving you this chance now. He reached down into the inner parts of the earth and brought those people back up. That is how far God will go to get to you. Jonah thought he could outrun God. He took a ship to Tarshish, spit him out, put him over the side, right? And what happened? A giant fish grabbed him, swallowed him, took him down into the depths of the ocean. Let me tell you what, maybe you think you've been in some bad places, but you ain't never been in the bottom of the ocean in a fish. That's bad. And don't think he was sitting down there in an easy chair. I think I'll read a book in the bottom of this fish. No way, man. He was like smushed to the side. Shouldn't have done that with my mic. He had like seaweed wrapped around his head. He was in there with a bunch of dead fish rotting. It was bad. Sorry. I know lunch is coming. Fish and chips. It was bad, but he still could not outrun God. I'm telling you, if you're running, I'm praying that God would remind you of how tiring it is to run away from God, and knock that stuff off, take your shoes off, and run one last time down the altar. All right, we're moving on. You can't get away from the love of God, man. It will reach down into the very depths. And when we realize that, how much God did by sending his son in Christ, reaching down to the depths of the earth for us, you know what it will do? It alleviates self-pity. We can't just go, oh man, I got to get up and pray for 5 minutes before I go and live 168 hours, you know, this week for myself. Forget that self-pity stuff. What did God do? You ever had somebody punch you in the face and beat you up and murder you? I didn't think so. You've been down in the depths of the ocean in a giant fish? No. Stop whining. Stop complaining. You live in a great country. You got great friends. You're in an awesome church. It's time to stop doing that stuff. Stop the self-pity and get back on it. God's got plans for you. All right, moving on. Okay. Hi. The love of Christ is high enough to raise both Jews and Gentiles from a heavenly place. In the first chapter, verse 13, the second chapter, verse 6, rising to the heights of our celebration and elation. Here's where God wants to take you. He wants to take you up. I believe the other one's showing the depth and the breadth and the width of God's love for you and how far he will go. But now he's saying, I will take all three of these to take you up. I want to show you who you are in me. I'm taking you up. I want you guys to know that once you get your stuff worked out with me and you get forgiveness of your sin. See, I hate sin because it hurts you. And once you get rid of all that junk, I'm going to take you up. And I want to show you the height of where you're going to be with me. You're going to judge angels. I'm going to take you up. I want to take you up to the top of your game. I want to take you up to being the best father you can. I want to take you up to being the best wife you can, the best worker you can. I want to take you up all the way, and I want you to be with me. He wants you from the back row all the way out there. He wants you to be with him. He's already showed how he will go to no length. He will stop at nothing to get to you. He wants you, and here's why he wants you. It's the same reason he created man back in the Garden of Eden. He wants to hang out. He wants to hang out. He wants to walk in the cool of the evening. He wants companionship. And here's how I know this. You guys ever seen something really awesome? I don't know, sunrise, awesome movie, you know, something on Netflix, and you pause it, and what do? You go find your wife. You go find your kid. You go find somebody you love, right? You find your roommate, right? What do you want to do? You want to share it with them, right? That's what Jesus wants with us. He wants to take us up so that all the glory that he has and he sees and he knows and everything that he gets to understand, he wants us to be there with him because he loves us. He wants us up with him. Man, that's awesome if you think about it. Man. Napoleon conquered Spain, and when he conquered Spain, they were unearthing some of his exploits in a prison, and they found a prison that had been covered by years of age. And in it, they found several monks, and the monks were long since gone, but there were skeletons wearing monk robes. And scrawled on the prison wall with a stone, one of the monks had showed this, and it said it was the shape of a cross. Sketched on top was high. On the bottom was deep, on the left was wide, and on the right was long. This monk went to his grave thinking about the cross and about how much Christ loved him, even in the depths of being in a prison and probably starving to death. He surveyed the cross. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And when we do, I want you to survey the cross. And I want you to know how far Christ traveled to make it to your side so that you wouldn't have to die. I want you to know how long he had to go and how deep he had to go to reach into your sins and how he wants to take you to be with him in heaven up high. Survey the cross when we take communion today. Verse 19 is enlightened. It says this, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Filled up. See, there's a difference between experiencing and knowing. Paul prayed in chapter 3, verse 18, that the believers might understand Christ's love. Here he prayed that they might experience it. There's two different words. Experience is the word gnosko. You guys probably know that from knowledge or Gnostic or Gnosticism, and it means to interact, right? To really interplay with it, to interact, not just merely receive. The word receive, cantabalano, when I threw you the shirt, you just received it, right? To really experience it, you probably got to put it on and walk around, and your wife would be like, you look pretty good in that red shirt, you know what I'm saying? Or another way, it's like a gift. And if somebody gives you a gift, right, they give it to you, and you receive the gift. And you're like, I got a gift, yeah! All right? And you put it on your shelf, and you walk away. That's not the purpose of the gift, right? You receive it. But the purpose is to open it up, take it out, and experience it, right? If it's something clothes, you put it on. If something to play with, you play with. If something to eat, you get your eat on. Hopefully it's like a breakfast burrito from the man cave yesterday, right? Big old giant, big in your face. Yeah, I know it's almost lunchtime. I'm hungry too. I got it. Okay, I get you. I'll just go home now? No. We got to finish this. Okay. When someone gives you a gift, it's awesome. To comprehend it's one thing, but to know it's another. To understand is awesome. To open it up and experience and interact with it is a whole nother thing. Never can we fully explain God's love, all right? Never can you fully explain it, but he made it that way because I think it's better that we fully experience it. You can tell people the way to the cross, right? You can tell people, come to my church. It's here, you go here. You can tell people that you are a Christian and that God wants to have a relationship with you. And you can tell them the four spiritual laws or the Romans road, however you do. That's all good, right? I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. But it's a whole nother thing to have somebody see you experiencing a life of Christ. You could tell somebody this is what you should do from an intellectual assent and they can hopefully receive it. But it's a whole nother thing to see them, to have them see you interacting with it. And when they interact, when they see you interact with your family and they see how you love your wife or you love your husband and how you're different with your kids and how you love on them and how you have dinner together, right? And how you go over and cut their grass, right? Just hook them up. You know what I'm saying? And they see the love of Christ spilling out of you because you are more than full. You're overflowing. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. Amen. All right. Somebody's going to cut some grass tomorrow in Jesus' name. All right. There's two other paradoxes or unattainable acts that Paul talks about here. And it's kind of interesting. He talks about beyond knowledge or surpassing. What's beyond knowledge? He's really saying, I want you to conceive the unconceivable. I want you to know the unknowable, right? It doesn't make sense if we think about it. And he even says it. Here's his prayer. All right, let's read this off. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Surpasses knowledge. I want you to know the love of Christ, which is beyond understanding. I want you to understand what you can't understand. Is anybody hearing this? This is kind of weird to me. Why would Paul say, I want you to understand that which you can't understand? Because we have to experience it. Right? I mean, can you picture Jesus talking to the disciples saying, all right, guys, listen up. I want everybody to stand on the side of the Sea of Galilee right there. Yeah, line up. Peter, get back in line. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, the way that I did this is I put one foot on top of the water, right? And I put my weight on it, and I shifted my weight from back to front, and the water stayed there. Then I took my next step, and I put it out, right? And next step, you're walking on water. Okay, everybody come with me. Let's do this. He didn't do that. He didn't give him a grade. All right, Thomas, you sank. He just didn't believe me enough, all right? Peter, get back. You're swimming around. Peter's got the little life ring on, all right? Come on, Peter, come back in. Jesus is on the water, and he's walking. He's doing it. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, I'm in. I don't have to understand. You don't have to give me a lecture about putting one foot in front of the other and baby steps and all that. If it's you, God, I'm in. And he jumped over the side, and he started walking. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, you don't have to understand everything there is about God. But you know what? When God says, I got something for you, you jump in. When God says, I got you to do something, I got you to sign up to teach Sunday school class, you jump in. I want you to do a home church group. I don't know. I don't have a seminary degree. Doesn't matter. Jump in. Man, I want to do family devotions with my family, but man, I just don't know if my kids will listen. Jump in. You put food on the table, man. Take it away until they listen. No, I was kidding. Don't do it. Probably not. We need to experience the love of Christ. We need to understand it. We need to interact with it. Another one is to be filled. So we already understood that one paradox is to know beyond knowing. Another one is to be filled to overflowing, right? To know beyond knowing and to be filled with overflowing. How are you going to be filled to overflowing, all right? We say that all the time as Christians. Brother, you know, I'm just going to pray that you be filled to overflowing. What does that mean? Do you ever do that? We're so nice. When people are praying for you, you know, I'll just be like this. And, Brother Rob, we just want you to be filled with overflowing. I'm like, yes, amen. But what if we were honest and be like, if I want you to be filled with overflowing, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you right now, you're praying for me, but what does that mean? I don't know. I just thought it was real spiritual. What if you go to a restaurant today and you're drinking a glass of nice iced tea and you tell the waitress when she comes over, she says, you want some more iced tea? You go, fill it to overflowing. What does that mean? I mean, I'd be kind of confused. I'd be like, I'm working for a tip. Say when? Splashing all over. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what it means. You ready? I have no idea what that means. I think it means, well, aren't you a pastor? I think it means that God is saying, you can have some of me. But if you want all of me, look out, because I'm going to give you so much, it's going to give you whiplash. Right? I'm a God that wants more. Amen. He said, I will be more to you than you ever thought. You know, we pray, oh God, give me a 3. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, God, give me something that's a 3. God's like, really? I'm gonna throw you a zinger, man. I'm gonna give you a 7. That's how he is. That's how he wants. Stop asking for the little things. Oh God, that I would just be able to just be kind of nice to my spouse today. God just probably yawns. Come at me when you get your big boy pants on there, son. God wants to do more. He wants to be more. Here's part of that is he wants us to be in him and he wants to be in us. If we really think this is kind of mind-blowing. We got to do communion here. God wants to be in us and he wants us to be in him. How does that happen? All right? So we say, I'm going to church, I'm going to get in God, but yet God lives in my heart. Solomon said, the heavens cannot contain God. How could he be contained in a temple? But yet here's what the prophet says. Prophet Isaiah says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, says the Lord, I live in the high and holy place. Those whose spirits are contrite and humble, I will restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. God is out there. God is distant. God is huge. God is gigantic. The earth cannot contain him. Yet he lives in your heart. God Almighty lives in your heart. We got to get excited about that. God Almighty lives inside of me. The earth can't contain him, yet my heart can. How is that? Now we're going to have church here. Yes. You guys, we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. And if you don't have that today, do not leave those doors without getting that inside of you. It takes a prayer. It takes some belief. It takes some information. It takes us walking you through some things. And then you will leave a child of God. That's the way it is. It's that easy. Now, you got to walk for a while to get all that power. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to give you more than you can think or know or ask. Amen. Amen. I'm just gonna do that, and then I'm gonna end with a little story, and then I'm gonna end with communion. Man, so many times church represents so many different things, and it's our social hub. It's spiritual hub. It's where we bring our family, and so it's a family hub. But that's not just go through the motions today. If you're here and you've never followed Christ in water baptism, man, we got shirts for you. Go home in a pair of soggy jeans for Jesus. It doesn't matter, right? If you're not where you need to be with Christ, don't leave here without letting us pray a prayer. If you've never had a chance to start your spiritual journey, we want to walk that through with you today. We want to put flesh and blood people with you, give you materials, give you a phone number, help you do this thing and spiritually, all right? It's what it's all about. It's for end game. It's for real, man. We want to change lives. And I just want to say thanks in advance. I know today it's going to be a little bit of a bedlam up here. We're going to have people on the altar, and we're going to pray, and we're going to try to do communion at the same time. I just want to say thanks in advance because we only have so many doors, and thousands of people have to get out. But you know, when you come to the best church on the planet, you know, there's going to be things you sacrifice. All right. So just thanks for your patience with people at the altar, and if people need to pray, and you know, just give up your lunch in Jesus' name, and you know, food's overrated. At least that's what I tell myself sometimes. And thanks for your patience in the parking lot. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, it's right to come early to Valley Bible. Man, you got to park on the street. That's the best parking. I'm just saying. So I'm going to end with a story about a lady named Henriette DeLille. Henriette DeLille was born in the early 1800s in New Orleans. And New Orleans was an interesting place in the early 1800s, pre-Civil War. And she was born into a Creole family, which had European lineage, and there was also some slave lineage. It's when European aristocracy came over, and they kind of commingled with the slaves at that point. And they were forbidden to marry, and so a European man would take a common law wife from a Creole crowd, and their children were the ones that really kind of suffered the most out of that because they couldn't marry. So they really had a dad, but they didn't, and it was interesting. It was really kind of weird. The thing about the Creole folk was, though, that because some were darker skinned than others and some were lighter skinned, they were all considered free people. In fact, their term was free people of color. So they weren't slaves that were not free, and they weren't, the ruling class that was completely free. They were kind of somewhere in the middle. Henriette was light-skinned, and she could have identified with being a white person, but she didn't. She had several male suitors over the years, but those didn't hold her fancy because she had a call of God in her life. And she did some amazing things. One of the things that strikes me is her and a group of girls started a Catholic charity called Sisters of the Holy Family, still around today. In fact, if you go to St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, you can see a prayer chapel and a plaque dedicated to Henriette DeLille. One of the most amazing things that I think she did was, during the Civil War, an outbreak of yellow fever hit the area, and New Orleans was extremely hit. And if you had affluence and you had the means and the wherewithal, you could leave New Orleans and you could get out. You could hire a coach, you could catch a train, you could do whatever, and you could leave. If you did not have the means, you stayed behind. And Henriette's family claimed their white side, and they moved out. And they were upset with her, and she said, I'm not going to pretend like something I'm not and something that I don't want to be, and so I'm going to be here. I'm going to choose as a free woman to stay here. And her sisters ministered and cared for the practical needs of mostly children and elderly people during yellow fever. When everybody that could was moving out of New Orleans to save their life because of an epidemic, Henriette and her colleagues stayed. They ran into the city and they cared for the orphans, they cared for the elderly, they cared for the kids, and they changed history because they did that. You may not be aware of Henriette DeLille, and you may not know her, and that's all fine. But you know who knows her? All those orphans, the thousands and thousands of orphans over the years that she cared for then and that she cares for now through her charity. Henriette knew where she was. She had to make some really tough decisions. Do I save myself or do I save others? The choice to save others comes from somebody who is filled up to overflowing. She knew the main thing, and that was her spirit person was alive and strong. She knew the main thing was so that her spirit person would grow and that it would be filled to overflowing, splashing all over the place. And she did. She splashed on orphans, and she splashed on widows, and she splashed on the elderly, and she splashed on the infirmed. And they had her to thank in Jesus' name. I think the next Henriette DeLille could be in this audience right now. I think the next generation of world changers is here. The next pastors, the next teachers, next generation of men and women of God, of missionaries. Oh, and by the way, I'm not saying anything about age. See, I think grandparents can jump on a plane just as much as a teenager and you can go overseas. Or what about mentoring? Who are you mentoring? Where are the childless and the orphans of our society today? We're not plagued with yellow fever, but we're plagued with sin. And you know what? You can do like Henriette did, and you can stay behind, and you can make a difference in your world, in your family, in your neighborhood, and where you're at. Amen. You guys are too kind. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. I'm going to have you stand. Could everybody stand wherever you're at? And I'm going to pray a prayer. And even while I'm praying, if you want to come down, or really what I'm doing is I'm giving you a chance. I'm kind of clearing the aisle so that if you need to move out, you can come down. I told you I was going to get our prayer workers up here, and I was going to give you a chance to pray. Somebody needs to take their shoes off and run one last time. You need to sprint down here and give your life to Christ. You can't outrun God, so why even try? I'm just praying. I'm trying to save you years and miles of running. God wants you today. He called you to be here. You thought it was your choice. It wasn't. God wants you here, and he wants you to come forward. So as I pray, or even now, I want these altars flooded with people that want to pray the prayer, God help me. Whatever it is, you can fill in the blank after that. However we can help you, we are here to serve. Too many times the church, has this vibe of saying, we want everybody to serve us, not here. we want to serve you. So if we can pray for you, we can love you, we can hug you, we can give you a high five, some materials, help encourage you in the things of the Lord, that's what we want to do. So pray this with me. Saints, I need you praying. Saints, please pray with me. Father God, right now, as we, the saints of God, are praying right now for the people that you have brought here that need life change, the people that need to do business with you, God, I pray that you would spar their hearts right now and that you would impact them and say, son, I need you to run one last time down here, then take your shoes off and never put them on again. Your time of running for me is done. It's over. And if that's you, I want you to come down just while I'm praying. Just come down the altar right now. Come down. Make your way out of the chairs. Make your way out of the aisles and come on down. Sweetheart, if you are tired of running from God and you feel like you're running to this guy and you're running to that guy and every time you run to another guy, they disappoint you and they let you down, that's because God wants it that way. And he does not want you to find your worth in another man's embrace. He wants you to find your worth in his embrace. And I need you to come down today and we will pray and we will help you break chains and we will love on you and we will give you a new start in Jesus' name. I'm getting ready to end this prayer, so if anybody else needs to come down, I pray that you do that right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, call us to come down so that we can do business with you in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Our prayer counselors, they're not going to take communion right now. We'll go have communion with them later. But at any time, if you want to come down, you come down anytime. At this point, I'm going to let you guys sit down where you're at in your seat, and if you would grab your elements. I told you it's going to be a little bit different today because we got a lot of things going on. It's kind of like we're doing two endings all at once here. If you grab the cup and the bread, I'm going to have to give you some instructions here. There's two little layers. If you find one layer and you peel it back, there's the wafer under there, and the second layer has the cup underneath that. So we're going to do this all together. When I say break, when Jesus broke the bread, I want you guys to all snap the bread. Can we do that at the same time? I think that'd be kind of cool. By the way, has anybody not been served? If you put your hand up, we can still serve you. Have ushers. We have some people over here that need to get served. Yeah, we have some in the back. No one will leave without having Jesus. We got a whole bunch back here. By the way, thanks for coming today, you guys. All this in the back. I don't know if, for whatever it is, I think God just wants to tell you, man, he's excited that you're here. So let's make sure everybody gets served. This is awesome up here, by the way. I hear all these prayers. I'm seeing you guys get communion. From my standpoint, it's like, it doesn't get any better, right? Well, maybe one of those breakfast burritos. So prepare the top and just take the top wrapper off, if you don't mind, and grab the wafer. We still have some people over here on the east side that need to be served. We're coming. You be patient. I'll wait. I know it's the awkward pause here. You guys are looking at me. I'm looking, it's like a standoff. And I got to be spiritual in our standoff. I told you I'm not real spiritual. I'm just being practical. You know, church is one of those things that it amazes me. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church on this rock, I believe on this statement. And he didn't give us any more illustration than that. He didn't say, go build a building. He didn't say, get a guy called a pastor and make him dress up real nice and really nice and bald and awesome. But he just said, you know, build the church upon this statement. And here we are thousands of years later trying to do our best. And we'll get there. I think we almost have everybody served. I think, I hope, I pray. Grab your wafer on the top. Put it up in the air. Paul was given instruction. He said, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Oh, yeah. Hear that snap? I like that because that's Jesus' body that was broken for you. Some of you guys need to know that Jesus was murdered for you. His body was broken so that you don't have to be broken. Let's take the body in remembrance of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body that was willingly given for us. Thank you, Lord. You died such a horrible death that we could live. That we could live. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Can somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the tears that were cried up at these altars. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that were changed. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that were changed in the chairs. Thank you, God, for every usher, the sound tech, everybody that works backstage, the worship leaders, God, the wonderful, wonderful babies that were dedicated. God, I pray that you would anoint those precious children, that every time they hear the word of God and every time they hear praise music, the spirit man would rise up in them and they would grow. You would seal them and cement them in Jesus' name. And now, God, we want to say, fill us up to overflowing, God, that we can't even handle it. We can't even contain it. That wherever we go, we're spilling on people and we're splashing.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.